test your might.
First, I just want to define placebo.
Placebo.
Everyone thinks they know what it is, but people often don't.
Well done. Fight!
My name is Matthew Vernon, and I'm some guy that likes to listen to podcasts.
Outstanding. It's 7 o'clock and I want to rock. Want to
get a belly full of beer. Then sometimes I'll have a couple drinks and go rant about them on Facebook. My sister looks
cute in her braces and boots. Well, I think all Westerners have this problem, right?
Brutality. This road is paved
with tricksters and fools. See, I'm also a physician, and some of the points discussed were not totally congruent with the way I view medicine.
Finish her! Finish her.
We don't believe in witchcraft.
Yeah.
We don't believe in witches. Therefore, when we have come to a society that believes in that, we just think it's stupid.
Impressive.
Cultural moral relativity. I find the concept as a workable way of viewing the world completely foreign. And I find I can't help but reject it.
Excellent.
And the postmodern kind of view is that's quite ethnocentric.
Right.
Finish him!
As a medical scientist, and as an ex-Mormon, I believe there is truth.
Tastes like chicken.
For me, I have to say that this witchcraft is real, or else I feel like it's being disingenuous to the lived experience of the people I work with.
What do you mean? Hold on. What do you mean by real?
Let's see what you're made of.
Despite providing measurable effects, I would generally not characterize it as real.
I will grant you a warrior's death.
So not my Western bias, that obviously it didn't.
No, but a CT scan is a Western bias.
You are pathetic and weak.
I'm a relativist. I'm an Einsteinian relativist with behavioral science, which is my people will be physiologically altered by witchcraft kind of, you know, interactions, cursings, or healings, regardless of whether or not I say that it exists as a real thing.
This fight will be your last.
It makes me furious. It is wrong. It is absolutely, not relatively, immoral. And I think it should be criminal.
Damn on you!
Get over here!
This is Infants on Thrones.
Minnesota.
Hey everyone, this is Glenn, and we've got something a little bit different for you today on Infants on Thrones. We have a listener essay that we're going to release as a standalone minisode. Now, this is from Matthew Vernon. You've heard a few clips of it already, but Matthew is responding to the episode that we did a few weeks ago, Placebos Part 1 and 2, and has some really good things to say, some criticism, some interesting perspectives. So we're going to release this as a standalone minisode. And then we're going to get back together as a panel and have a panel discussion, including Chelsea. So look for that coming in a couple of weeks. But until then, here's Matthew's essay. Thank you, Matthew.
Hey, podcast listeners. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Matthew Vernon, and I'm some guy that likes to listen to podcasts. Then sometimes I'll have a couple drinks and go rant about them on Facebook. One of my favorite podcasts is this one. Infants on Thrones. If you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating on... Oh, wait, sorry. I don't know why I started going off in that direction.
Hi, this is Matthew Vernon, recording from Whitingham, Vermont, the birthplace of Brigham Young, a man of superb equipment.
Where was I? Oh, right. One of my favorite podcasts... My favorite podcast is this one, Infants on Thrones. So after that last episode on the placebo effect with Chelsea Shields Strayer, I went to Facebook and did a little ranting, and was invited by some of the Quorum members to submit my response. See, I'm also a physician, and some of the points discussed were not totally congruent with the way I view medicine. So I was invited to express a little different perspective. I hope it's not too long. Now, I want to make it totally clear from the beginning that I thought this discussion was fascinating. And it's not my goal to turn this into a personal attack or a pedantic point-by-point listing of all the individual points I did and didn't agree with. There were several minor medical points I disagreed with. If you want to discuss gluten sensitivity, hey, we can talk about that. But that's not where I want this essay to go. Maybe instead of thinking of it as a response essay, we should call it a springboard into some issues that were not fully hashed out, and coming from a different angle. First, a couple of disclaimers. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not even a primary practitioner. I'm a radiation oncologist. I shoot high-energy radiation at cancer patients in an attempt to cure their disease or to alleviate the symptoms it causes. So I certainly have not read all the primary literature on the placebo effect. I spend my time reading about cancer and dealing with patients undergoing a very emotionally and physically taxing course of diagnosis and treatment. Likewise, I'm not an anthropologist, so I can't really take issue with specific points made about anthropological studies or claims. Also, I recognize that Chelsea was responding to questions in real time, whereas I have the luxury of writing down my thoughts as deliberately as I like. And that's not totally fair. Finally, and most importantly, I want to make it clear I agreed with the overall sentiment of the episode as a whole, that placebo and nocebo effects are powerful and carry pretty profound implications both in and out of medicine. Viewing our previous or ongoing Mormon experiences through this lens is especially interesting. Okay, enough of that. So maybe a good place to start is that question of whether I prescribe placebos. This is actually a harder question than it may seem on the surface. I only have my own experience and my observation of other providers, but I think that survey that suggested that half of doctors regularly prescribe placebos is maybe being spun a little bit. First of all, to my knowledge, I can't just write placebo on a prescription pad and send the patient off to the pharmacy. Closest I can do is prescribe an active drug, despite really failing to believe myself that the mechanism of action of the medication will reasonably provide some benefit directly. I think this is maybe what respondents to the survey were thinking when answering yes. I can't really say that this is all that common either, though. At least personally, the closest I regularly come would be prescribing an active medication with only marginal or palliative efficacy to keep the patient busy while a disease runs its natural course. But I do it with a genuine desire to alleviate the patient's symptoms, and I actually often feel frustrated that this is the best I can do in the absence of a more effective treatment. So I don't really see any moral gray area here. Anyway, this misrepresentation wasn't what bothered me about the episode. Actually, as it turned out, it wasn't purely because of medical misrepresentations at all. As I sat down and re-listened to the interview, I quickly realized that one of the primary notions that was not sitting well with me was this idea that kept coming up of cultural moral relativity. As Chelsea pointed out, this seems to be something an anthropologist, at least, strives for in studying cultural populations. Maybe it's just me, but I find the concept as a workable way of viewing the world completely foreign, and I find I can't help but reject it. As a medical scientist, and as an ex-Mormon, I believe there is truth. No matter how you translate the characters on the papyrus, you can't say they're talking about Abraham. And despite there obviously being value in a person's subjective experience and social worldview, it can be wrong. Witchcraft is bogus.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Again, I understood the suggestion that this is part of what makes people who they are, but that doesn't make it real. That word real came up a lot in the interview. Is it being disingenuous to the lived experience of the people you study to describe their pseudoscientific belief as such? I say no. I say it's critical thinking. Likewise, a CT scan is not Western bias. It's a tool that helps us remove some of the subjectivity of finding the real root of a person's problem. If anything, it has the potential for decreasing bias. Of course, it may not always find anything, and it won't tell us how the patient is feeling or how her personal experience influences the way she perceives pain, but it will show us her inflamed appendix, allowing us to stop searching for a diagnosis and get her to the operating room to get the real root of the problem fixed. This is not me being Western. It's me being logical. So, I reject the notion, which Chelsea stated very plainly, that Westerners' disbelief in witchcraft is a problem.
Problem.
Like that's some kind of fault on our part. And I reject it for two reasons. First of all, We do believe in witchcraft.
I do believe in spooks. I do believe in spooks. I do. I do. I do. I do. I do. I do believe in spooks. I do believe in spooks.
We just call it homeopathy, acupuncture, Reiki, chiropractic, not to mention religion. At their best, these things are harmless. Yes, they are beliefs in the supernatural, in powers not rooted in good science, and they certainly provide symptomatic relief to patients through the placebo effect. We have Reiki practitioners who come to our cancer center. The patients seem to like it, and I'm happy having them meet their pseudoscientific, spiritualistic, placebo-driven needs right there where I can keep an eye on them and make sure if they do have a problem that warrants a more direct, physiologic, science-based intervention. They're not out getting roots and berries from a naturopath somewhere. Which brings me to reason number two. Disbelief in witchcraft is not a fault, because witchcraft can often be harmful, at least net negative. Again, this gets us into that fuzzy realm of moral relativism. What is more harmful, being beaten or being shunned by your community? But I think this is a false dichotomy. There are other options. How about pushing for social change? How about educating people about science? African witchcraft kills people. I cannot accept a moral approach that sees that as okay. It's just part of their culture. It is wrong. No relativism about it. I actually invite everybody to go listen to a recent episode of another podcast called Reasonable Doubts. An episode entitled Witch Hunt, released August 27, 2014, with guest Leo Igwe, an African activist for social change to eliminate witchcraft. Maybe we can get a link up on the website. I invite you to listen to his stories of beheadings and ritual disembowelings of innocent people because human parts were required for superstitious remedies. Then tell me moral relativism is an okay way to view these issues. Maybe I'm just using an appeal to emotion here. Listen to the interview and judge for yourself. On a more introspective side note, I actually find it curious that I do feel much more strongly that this is an absolute universal truth, not subject to cultural relativism, now that I'm out of the church and have a purely atheistic, humanistic worldview. While in the church, I would have chalked it up to the subtle craftiness of men, a transgression, ignorant of God's will, but not a sin, because the missionaries hadn't gotten around to knocking on their hut yet. But I digress. Back to our Western witchcraft, our pseudoscientific woo. It is not based in fact. Despite providing measurable effects, I would generally not characterize it as real. It can be just as harmful as voodoo. Harm by commission, which I suppose we'd characterize as nocebo, but more frequently harm by omission. I wish I had the numbers to back it up. Actually, I would probably predict that studies would underestimate the numbers of patients causing themselves medical harm by substituting alternative treatments for what their medical doctor has recommended. Anecdotally, at least, I can relate that I see it frequently. And the notion that people don't turn to alternative healers until medical professionals have failed them in some way is not congruent with my experience. Yes, the American medical establishment has its problems. We are aware of them. And yes, these problems may have engendered distrust within our culture as a whole, but I lay a heavy burden of the blame on Dr. Oz and his ilk. Every time I see a patient with widespread incurable cancer that could have been treated with scientifically proven medical intervention, who instead took homeopathic remedies, it makes me furious. It is wrong. It is absolutely, not relatively, immoral. And I think it should be criminal. Every homeopath who knowingly provides pseudoscientific remedies to a patient he knows is substituting their snake oil for proven medical treatment should be held responsible for that patient's death. Can you tell I feel strongly about this? Now, a little aside, just to be clear. I am not trying to say that these are points Chelsea made in her interview, or that she holds these beliefs to these extremes. But these are the logical ends to some of those roads that she starts down. Listen again to the second half of part one. I think it is clear she believes there is a place in our medical landscape for alternative practitioners and witchcraft, though she backpedals a little bit when core members give pushback. My belief is that there's no place for them. They are alternative, because they don't have a basis in science. Placebo factor, no, they should not be promoted. We've already established there is a placebo component within allopathic science-based medicine. This is the place for patients to reap the benefits of the placebo effect. This brings me to my last point. I have no idea how we fix this. It's easy for me or anyone to sit in the armchair and point out all the problems with society, but actually furthering social change is hard. The least I can do is try to promote critical thinking, share skeptical articles on Facebook, and educate my own patients. They don't usually listen when they've come in with a preconceived notion, but I do my best. It doesn't stop me from having the conversation. I still have to try. Anyway, how's that for a rant? I'm not even drunk.
So have you been thinking about that? What do you want to say to Matthew Vernon? Are you going to let him get away with that, Chelsea? Really? You're going to stand for that? You're just going to sit there and take that from a man?
Hey, Glenn, have I ever let any of you get away with anything?
Oh, I like that response.
Yeah, really.
Of course not.
All right.
There's nothing he can say that I won't be able to, like, back up with scientific finding. So we'll just go head to head. I'm really excited about this.
Right on.
Tasty.
Come here!
Hi, this is Riley from the Lehigh Valley in eastern Pennsylvania. My former bishop lives across the street, and I like to put my empty beer bottles in his recycle bin. You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com. And if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes. I did. Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.